very exciting that the Lord is doing that very thing around the world. And my heart was just blessed as I heard those testimonies of what's going on. The country with the fastest growing church planting, gospel spreading movement is in Iran, of all places. And then Afghanistan. I mean, that's just mind-boggling to think. Two of the places that support terrorism, serve as a base for terrorism, is where the gospel's spreading the fastest of all places. And so, don't underestimate what God can do. I mean, sometimes we don't see those things, we don't hear those stories, and so we don't see the glory of God as He is doing His work in these countries. The other day, I was preparing to run on my treadmill. As you know, that I am a runner. Maybe it's more of a jogger than a runner nowadays, but I have a treadmill that has a 14-inch Android smart device in the console that connects with our home Wi-Fi. I have a membership with a training program called iFit, and you can access workouts from dozens of different trainers. You can go places all over the world doing different kind of workouts. It's really amazing. Most people look at a treadmill as a dread mill, that, you know, it's a place that you don't want to get on. But when you have these videos and these trainers that are talking, and you can go places like the Swiss Alps, you can hike up the Swiss Alps, you can run through the streets of Paris, you can hike down to the Grand Canyon, to the river, and back up to the rim. There's all kinds of places, walk the beaches of Hawaii. It's unlimited. I mean, it's just amazing. But anyway, on this day, I was planning to run with this ultra runner. Her name is Sally McRae, and she was in Zion National Park. How many have been to Zion National Park? Anybody? In Utah? There's some here. That's one place I really would love to go. There's some parks in Utah I want to visit, and as well as the Grand Canyon. And so this was a trail race that goes through this national park. It goes down this canyon and up, and so there's a lot of downs and up. And what's neat is as the trainer is going down, the treadmill goes down. And automatically, and as it goes up, it goes up. The speed will increase and decrease automatically. If it's too fast, you can move it down, but it's really cool. But anyway, I was planning on doing this run, and the problem was, it wouldn't connect. So I was getting something kind of like this. Have you ever seen that, where that circle just keeps going like this? It's trying to connect. And I'm sure all of us have experienced that, whether it's been on your smartphone, your laptop, your computer, maybe on your smart TV, where you are trying to access something online through the internet, and it's not connecting. You're getting this circle, this ongoing circle that's trying to connect, and it's just really frustrating. And then you get something like this on the screen. There's no internet connection. It's really frustrating. And so you're like, you know, they're wanting to do whatever you're going to do, and there's no connection. Now most of us here, especially young people, you know this. You know that 9 times out of 10, that the first thing you're going to try is to reset or restart. Most of the time, that will solve the problem. By just hitting the reset or the restart button. And sometimes resetting will get it to where it will function properly. And I want to just say that our lives are not much different than computers. They're not much different than the internet in some ways, because many times our signals get jammed, or we get so busy, our lives get so cluttered that it's just bogged down. Just like a computer can get bogged down with so many programs running at the same time in the background. And sometimes the best thing to do is just to hit the reset. To restart it. To reset it. You know, many times as believers, we get overworked. We get overstressed. We're tired. And we're suffering spiritually because of it. Because we're so busy that we don't have time. We don't have time to spend with the Lord. We don't have an intimate walk with God because we're so busy. And so every now and then it's good for us to get a fresh start, to hit that reset button. And not only that, but I believe that this last year and a half, we've all seen dramatic changes all around us. I mean, there's changes everywhere, but did you know there's also changes in your life? We've all changed. I really believe that. In some way, we've all changed in the last year and a half. We've all developed some new habits, some new patterns, and not all of them are good spiritually. I read somewhere that maybe this virus is here to give us a reset. Maybe this virus is here to give us a reset button. I honestly believe this morning that God has given us opportunity as we've gathered here on Reset Sunday. I believe God's given us the opportunity to have a total reset in our spiritual life. I believe that's our opportunity this morning. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We have an opportunity to reboot, to restart, to restore, to revive, revitalize, to recalibrate. You know, that's a lot of RE words. But what an opportunity that we have to pause during this trying season we're in and to take a deep breath and bring back to life some things that are dead in our lives. What an opportunity to course correct some things that are going in a wrong path. What an opportunity to draw closer to God as He draws closer to us. What an opportunity to serve the Lord, to serve one another, to serve people in our community in creative ways. You know, out of all of these RE words that's mentioned here, only one do we really find in the Bible, and that's the word revive. And so I want you to turn to the Bible in Psalm 85 in verse number 6. Turn to Psalm 85 in verse number 6. We're just going to read this one verse and then we're going to pray. Psalm 85 in verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You know, this is a heart cry of this psalmist. Crying out to God, God, will you not push the reset button in my life? God, will you not revive me again? You know, that's a great question. That's a great prayer to pray to God. So let's take a moment to pray. Father, we come to you today realizing that it's very easy for our lives to get cluttered, to get bogged down with stress of life, with busyness, with so many things to do. Seems like we can't get caught up. All these things that are vying for our attention. And many times, Lord, we allow the busyness to keep us from you. It's the tyranny of the urgent. So many things that are urgently calling for our attention, and we miss what is most important, time with you. That we lose our focus, we lose our priorities, and in the midst of that, we go down a pathway in our spiritual life that's not good. But I'm thankful, God, that you're a God that is in the business of hitting the reset button in people's lives. I'm thankful, God, that you're a God that will revive your people if they meet the conditions that you lay down in your word. Father, I'm thankful that we have the opportunity this morning as your people to hit that reset button in our spiritual life. To remove all this clutter and all this bogged downness of in our spiritual life, and be able to restore our vision and focus upon Jesus and what he wants for us. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us to hear your voice as you speak to us through this message. Lord, I'm thankful that you spoke to me through this message. And Lord, now I pray you'd help me as your messenger to bring this message to your people. For I ask these things in Jesus' name, and for his glory I pray. Amen. Before we look at this question, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? There are several things I believe we need to consider. We're going to go back to this illustration of the internet. When we're trying to do something online and we get this signal that's showing it's trying to reconnect, and then we get this, there is no internet connection. I want to go back to that illustration and apply it to our spiritual life. And I want to just say that before we hit this reset button, before we decide to push that button in our lives, there are some things we need to consider. And the first thing is, you need to check your connection. You know, the first thing listed up here in these bullet points, checking the network cable or router. What that means is check your connection first. Before you go to resetting the modem or the router, it says that to check that connection. You know, if you don't have an internet connection, you can push the reset button all you want and you're not going to get internet. If the internet's down, I mean, you can reset it over and over and over and you're still not going to have internet. If you have the latest MacBook Pro or the latest iPad Pro, the latest iPhone, or if you're an Android fan, Samsung, whatever, those don't matter. But if you have the latest technology, if you don't have internet, you're not going to get on the internet. As simple as that. Without an internet connection, you're not going to have access to the internet. So check your cable, check your connection, check your internet provider. Make sure you paid your bill last month. Make sure you paid your phone bill, or you're not going to have the data to access the internet. And so when we come to our spiritual lives, listen, if we can try to reset, to try to live the Christian life, but if you don't have a connection to Jesus, listen, it ain't going to work. You know, there are a lot of people today that are trying to live the Christian life. They're trying to do the things Christians do, but they don't have a connection to Jesus. Their life is without power. It's kind of like what Paul said, I think it was in Titus, or maybe it was in Timothy. I believe it was in Titus it was in on my lips, and it just escaped me. Having the power thereof, but not having the power thereof. And you know the verse I'm talking about? It's talking about they have an outward semblance of Christianity, but they do not have the power of Christianity. There's a lot of people like that. They profess Christ as their Savior. They say that they're a Christian. They belong to a church. They go through all the motions, but they do not have the power. They do not have the Holy Spirit living within. They do not know Christ. They do not have a connection with Jesus. Check your connection before you hit the reset button. Check your connection. Because you can make a decision today. Well, I'm going to try to be a better Christian. I'm going to try to read my Bible more. I'm going to try to be faithful to church. I'm going to try to start tithing and be faithful in my giving. I'm going to try to start serving. You can do all those things, but listen, if you have no connection with Jesus, it's not going to matter. You're not going to have the power to do those things. It's only as you have a connection with Jesus that you can have the power to live the Christian life. You know, there are a couple of verses I want to look at. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah in the Old Testament. God spoke to this prophet. And I really love these verses. In verse 1, he said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that God has the power to save and his ear is ready to hear as we cry out and call upon him? Aren't you thankful for that? But notice what he says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So if there's no connection to Jesus, he's not going to hear you. You know, our sin has separated us from God. And Jesus alone bridged that gulf between us and God. He came to go to the cross to bear our sins on that cross. He was buried. He rose again so that he could offer us eternal life. We have to come to Jesus. We have to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior in order to have that connection, in order to come to God in prayer. Without a connection, God won't hear. Until we deal with our sin that separates us from God, we will not have a connection. So check your connection. In John 15, this is our passage this year, of the vine and the branches abiding in Jesus. I want to look at a few of those verses. And in John 15, I want you to look beginning verse 4. Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Verse 6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." If you have no connection with Jesus, if you've never been saved, you know what he's saying? You're like a branch that's just lying on the ground dead. You can't bear fruit. If there's no connection to the vine, how are you going to bear fruit? What do they do with those dead branches? It says that men gather them and cast them into the fire and burn them. If you have no connection to Jesus, that's what's going to happen when Jesus comes. You're going to be gathered up and cast into hell. It's that serious. Sin is that serious. We need to check our connection. If we're going to have a prayer life, if we're going to have fruit in our life, you need that connection. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You have to abide in the vine. Then 1 John 5, this is a familiar passage. In 1 John 5, verses 11 through 13. The reason I like these verses and I'm turning to these verses is because they're so simplistic. They're so simple that even a child can understand these verses. And this is the record. The record is speaking of a witness, a testimony. This is the testimony. And it says that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So here's the testimony. Here's what God has shared as a testimony, that God has given to us life eternal, and this life is in his Son. It's not in the Baptist church. It's not in your good works. It's not in getting baptized, but it's in a person, a personal relationship with Jesus. He goes on and says in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know, in relation to our message, I want you to look at it this way. He that hath the Son hath a connection. But he that hath not the Son of God hath not a connection. Think about that. You can reset, but if you don't have Jesus, you're not ever going to get a connection. You can pray all you want, but until you come to Jesus and recognize he's the only Lord and Savior, he's the only one that can save, you put your faith and trust in him, that's the only way you're going to have a connection. Verse 13 goes on, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So I want to ask you this morning this very, very simple question before we move on. Do you have a personal connection with Jesus Christ? This is the most important thing for you this morning. Before we move on, you need to answer this question in your heart. Do you have a personal connection with Jesus? Do you know that you have eternal life? Because the Bible says you can know. You know, there's a lot of people today says, well, you can't really know. I hope so. I hope when I die, I go to heaven. No, the Bible says you may know that you have eternal life by believing on the name of the Son of God. Believing means you're committing to him. You're committing your eternal soul to Jesus. You're trusting Jesus for salvation. Do you know that you have eternal life? Because when you get eternal life, guess what? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're made new. All of a sudden, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. There's a change that takes place in your heart and your life. Make no mistake about it. You will know if you're saved. If you're sitting here wondering, you don't know, well, you need to make sure. Make sure you have a connection first. Before we hit the reset button, check your connection. But here's another thing. Before you hit the reset button, you need to know there are two types of reset. There are two types of reset. And first, I'm going to look at it in an internet computer standpoint, and then we're going to look at it in a spiritual life standpoint. Some of you are a lot smarter than me when it comes to these things. But it's not too hard to understand. There's a soft reset. A soft reset. What is a soft reset? It's a restart, basically, that closes the applications that are running on your computer at the moment, and it clears any data in the RAM, which is random access memory. So your memory is running all these applications, and what happens is, you know, over time, that as that computer's not been restarted, as it's been running, you've been pulling up all these programs, all these applications, over time it gets bogged down, because hundreds of these applications can be running in the background. And all of a sudden you try to do something and you're not able to do something because your computer is freezing. And you're like hitting, you're on the keyboard. But listen, that's not going to help, is it? So what you do is you do what is called a soft reset. You hit that restart. You restart your computer. The same is true of a phone. How many of you had problems with your smartphone? Well, you turn it off. You turn it back on. That's how you restart or reset a smartphone. And so that's called a soft reset. Now, everything that's saved, you don't lose that, but you might lose unsaved data. But that which is stored in the hard drive, the applications and all those, none of that is affected. All your programs that you have, they're still there. That's a soft reset. Now, a hard reset. A hard reset is a reset to default settings, or some call it factory settings, which erases all applications that were installed by the user, as well as all user data. Now, this one, let me just say, this one you have to really think about before you hit that button. I'm sure some of you have come to this where you've had to do this. I've had to do this. You try every avenue before you do this. This is something that requires some forethought, and it's painful because it erases all the applications that you installed. You lose everything. All your user data is lost. Unless it was uploaded to some iCloud somewhere or cloud somewhere. Listen, it's gone. That's what a hard reset is. It goes back to default factory settings. Now I'm going to make a spiritual application of these two. As I was meditating on these things, it was really amazing what the Lord, how these are parallel to spiritual life in so many ways. As I said, a soft reset is something it's inconvenient, but it's not painful. Think about it. It's inconvenient. Oh, I have to start it all over, turn it off and start it back up and wait for it to reload. And I mean, it's inconvenient, but it's really not that painful. It just, all it costs you is a little bit of time. It doesn't change anything, but it helps reduce a lot of the clutter. But let me just say this. A soft reset represents a lukewarm disciple. We're talking about a lukewarm believer in Christ who follows Christ. Someone who's lukewarm, who resolves to do better. That's what the soft reset would represent. A lukewarm disciple who resolves to do better. Let me explain what I mean by that. Someone who knows that his life is cluttered and not where it should be. Someone who feels some guilt about not making time for God in Bible study. Not really spending time in prayer like you ought to. Not being faithful in corporate worship. Not really serving the Lord. Not using your gift that God had given you to use in your church. You feel some guilt about that, and you You might be in church, you hear a message, and so you're feeling guilty. I really need to get back in my Bible. I really need to get back to praying. I really hadn't been very faithful in church. I need to get back to being faithful in church. So you resolve to do better. That's what a soft reset is. There's not much to lose. Helps you feel better for a short time. But there's a problem with this one. The problem is this. It doesn't contribute to lasting change. Before long, you need to reset again. And again. And again. And again. That's why a lot of people can go to a revival meeting, and for about 3 weeks, they're excited. They're reading their Bible, they're praying, they're going to church, they're excited, but then it fizzles out. It's because they only did a soft reset. That's why a lot of kids, teens, go to camp. Excited. They come back. Man, I'm excited. I want to serve the Lord. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. But then after a few weeks, it just fizzles out. That's when there's a soft reset. It doesn't last. It's just when someone resolves to do better. But it doesn't really hurt. It's not really painful. It doesn't really change much other than make you feel better at the moment you did it. You know, sometimes I think in our modern churches, we call this rededication. I'm going to rededicate my life to the Lord. I would ask, where is that word in the Bible? Where is it even found in the Bible to rededicate yourself to the Lord? Let's go to the hard reset. It represents a lukewarm disciple who is brokenhearted and repents of known sin. Here's another biblical R-E word. Repent. Resolve is not in the Bible. Rededication is not in the Bible. But this word is in the Bible. Repent. But it's rarely preached today. It is rarely preached today. Repent is a hard reset. It's painful. Repent erases all the applications. It deletes all the old programs. There's a lot of forethought that goes into this. Before you hit this hard reset, there's a lot of thinking going on in your heart. You don't just do this lightly. You don't just hit this button lightly. It's something that God is working in your heart. Maybe it's over weeks and months God is working in your heart. And you get to the point where you're just broken. The point where you're broken about the fact that you have sinned against God. It's not that you're, well, I'm sorry, God. No, you're broken about it. You're convicted about it. You're not just feeling guilty. You're convicted. And you know God is much more worthy than that. And you need to make some hard changes to repent. You know, this type of person that makes a hard reset, they're convicted and brokenhearted about not spending time with God. They're brokenhearted about not being faithful to God and using their gifts. They're broken about it. Let me just say, this hard reset is transformative. It's lasting. It's life-changing. I hope you see the difference. There's a huge difference between a soft reset and a hard reset in the computer world, but there's also a difference in the spiritual world. What kind of reset do we need today? We need the hard reset. We don't need just this shallow, soft reset that doesn't really cost anything, that doesn't really require a lot of thought or forethought about it. We need true Holy Spirit conviction of sin and repentance toward God. I want to say this does not mean there will be no more need for repentance after we do the hard reset. But this is the only type of reset that changes the heart. It's the only one that changes the heart. You know, this is, as I said, something that is not preached today very often. Oh, you need to just rededicate your life. You just need to do better. Even in salvation messages, all you need to do is pray this prayer. And that's not even found in the Bible either. I want to show you a few verses because let me just put this statement up on the screen first. Repentance is necessary for both regeneration and revival. These are both Bible words. Regeneration, what is that? That means to be born again. You remember Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He told that to Nicodemus, a very religious man, outwardly righteous man, a man who outwardly kept the law of God. But like all of us, we're sinful. He was sinful just like all of us. We all come short of the glory of God. He told Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You must be born again. You know, Jesus in Mark 1:15, I want you to look what he preached. This is a quote of Jesus and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus preached. Repent. He said, do a hard reset. You know, the best way I can explain repent is, and I've done this before, is you're walking this way. This is your own way. Repent means to turn a 180. But it's more than just the turning, but it's a turning from something. So this is sin. This is my way. This is sinful way. I'm turning from that. I'm turning to God. Repentance involves those two things. And it's something that takes place in the heart. It's not something, resolving to do something is just mental. Resolving is just something that involves the mind. Repentance involves the heart as well as the mind. Repentance is when the heart is broken, contrite, godly sorrow. There's brokenness to the point that you're willing to turn away from sin. If you're not willing to turn away from the sin that God's convicting you of, you're not repenting. If you're still walking this way, but you're saying, oh, I'm going to resolve to do better, but I'm still walking this way. I'm still going down the same pathway. You have to repent, turn from it, but you have to be broken to do that. There has to be true contrition of heart. There has to be this brokenness in the heart. And so Jesus says repent. That means you turn from that sin and you believe. You trust Him. You turn to Him. You put your faith in Him. In Acts 20:21, this is what the apostles preach. Paul said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. If you read the book of Acts here recently in our Bible reading, you'll see that all the apostles' messages included repentance. Repent, repent, repent. Repentance towards God. That means that my brokenness is towards God. Remorse is when the brokenness is towards me. That I'm just sad that I got caught. And I'm sad for the consequences of this sin in my life. That's worldly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7 talks about the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. Worldly sorrow doesn't lead to salvation. It's just when you remorse over what your sin has caused you. But godly sorrow is sorrow towards God. Brokenness towards God. It's when my heart is broken because I'm looking at God and have sinned against Him. I'm not looking at, well, this sin has done this to my life and my relationships, and I wish I wouldn't have done this. That's remorse. Repentance is when we're looking at our sin through the eyes of God. We're seeing it for what it is. And we're turning from it because it's broken God's heart. And we're turning to Jesus for deliverance from that. Because, you know, just the turning itself can't change a person. But it's when we look to Jesus and we put our faith, it's repentance and faith, repentance and believing, we're trusting Him to deliver, to give us that new heart, to give us eternal life. I want to give another scripture in Revelation 3. This was written to a church at Laodicea. So I want you to understand the context of this, of these verses that I put up here on the screen, is these words are to saved people, a church of people who have confessed Christ as their Savior. They've been baptized. They've been joined together as a church. And Jesus is sending this letter to them with a message. This is the Laodicean church, what is known as the lukewarm church. And Jesus addresses their lukewarmness in this letter. And I don't have the time to read through all the letter, but I want you to see what the end of his message, what he says. He says, as many as I love. And I want you to know this, if you're a true believer, he loves you, even if you're lukewarm, even if you're backslidden, even if you're away from Him. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You know, Tim was talking about the goodness of God in Connect this morning. We often think of the goodness of God as only good things, is it? We often think, well, it's when God blesses me with a new job, God blesses me with this in my life, He answers this prayer, and that is the goodness of God, but we don't think about it. What about when God rebukes us? What about when God chastens? It's the goodness of God. Why? Because that goodness leads us to Him. It leads us to repentance. As Romans 2 says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And so he's saying here, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So he's reassuring this church and said, listen, this is a strong, hard message. This is a message of rebuke. And I'm bringing chastisement upon your church. But I love you. I do this because I love you. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So repentance is not just something for regeneration. It's not just something that we do to get saved. It's something we do in the Christian life. As we go through life, and when there's times that we get off course, when there's times our life gets cluttered, there's times when we get bogged down, that's when we need to push the hard reset. That's what needed to happen to this church. They were lukewarm. They were in a position, they were bringing shame on the name of Christ. So he says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Isn't that amazing to be zealous about it? To have great zeal in what? In repenting. I love verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, we use this a lot and with lost people, but that's not what the primary application is addressed to. The primary application is to this church of born-again believers who were lukewarm. Jesus is outside this church knocking at the door. Isn't that amazing? Outside the door of the church. This church is so lukewarm. They were so far from Jesus, they just locked him outside the door of the church. Oh, Lord, we don't really need you here. We got this. We can worship without you. We can preach and teach without you. We can serve without you. But that's how a lot of Christians are living today. I mean, admit it. How many Christians today are really walking in the power of the Holy Spirit versus walking in the flesh? Jesus outside knocking. He said, I stand at the door and knock. You don't think he's good? He's good. He's out there knocking, saying, let me in. I want to come in. I want fellowship with you. And that's what he's saying. If any man hear my voice. You know, I love that this verse connects with what we just read in Psalm 29 this morning. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Jesus is saying to this church, not I'm not saying that this church right here, but this church right here where we are assembled today, if any man, any woman, any child, hear my voice. Do you hear his voice? Is he speaking to you today? He said, and open the door. I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, you've lost your connection. You're a child of God. You're saved, but you lost your connection. I want to get connected with you. I want you to hit this hard reset button. I want you to repent. I want you to open the door. I'll come in. Isn't he good that he would be willing to come back into our lives? He would be willing to connect with us. He'd be willing to fellowship with us after we have turned our back on him, after we had become lukewarm toward him. What an awesome promise that he gives us today. Just think, yes, the reset is hard. We maybe over this past year and a half, maybe we have gotten some new habits that are not good. Maybe we've got some new patterns that we've established that are not good. Is it time to do the hard reset? Is it time to come back and get connected with Christ, with his church, his people? I would say yes, it's time. It's high time that we reset. You know, the devil really, he really got an upper hand on the COVID for churches. He changed churches. But why can't we still preach the gospel? I'm not saying here in this church, but out there. We can't just keep saying, well, you know, COVID. We don't want to spread it. I don't want to get COVID. I want people to feel uncomfortable. When there's people in Afghanistan that are sharing the gospel with the Taliban that wants to kill him, we got a serious spiritual problem. or I need to hit the reset. You know, I can't hit that button for you. You have to decide in your own heart and life. You have to come to that place yourself that you think really long and hard about this, that, hey, I'm going in a wrong direction and I need to repent. Not rededicate my life, not resolve, I need to repent. I mean, totally turn away from it. Turn to Jesus, come to Him, say, Lord, I need you to help me. Change my heart towards that sin or that pattern of life. Help me to get out of it. They say it takes about 21 days to establish new habits. It's not easy. But with Jesus, it's possible. You know, there's something that I want you to think about. God is in the business of resetting. You know, back in Genesis 6, the earth had gotten so evil, so corrupted, so wicked. The imagination of every man's heart was only evil continually. What did God do? Pushed the reset button. Noah and his family were saved in the ark. The rest were judged. God reset everything. Start all over with one family who populated the earth. But you know, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Don't you think that we're living in a pretty evil time? Isn't it just getting mind-boggling is what's going on around the world in our country? We're like, how can that be? What are they thinking? It's just evil is taking over. One world government just coming together. All of the resistance against it is just being broken down. Just like the Bible said. Do you realize that the Father, one day, and I think that day is sooner than we think, He's going to hit that reset button. I'm talking about on the whole universe. I'm not talking about just on the individual. He's going to hit that reset button. He's going to look to His Son. He said, Jesus, it's time. Go get your bride. The house is ready. Go get your bride. 7 years later, Christ is going to come back. King of kings, Lord of lords, He's going to judge this world in righteousness. A sword's going to be coming out of His mouth, which is the Word of God. And there's going to be a reset. It's going to all go back to factory settings. You know what that means? Everything's going back to Genesis before the fall. You know, when God created everything, it says it was very good. There was no sin. It's going to go back to that. When Jesus comes, He's going to push that reset button. It's going to go back to factory settings, to default. We're going to be in the kingdom of God for all eternity. Think about it. That is if you have connection to Jesus. That is if you know Jesus. Do you feel like your life is bogged down this morning? With stress and busyness and overworked? You may say, Pastor, that's not fair to ask that question. School just started. Well, it's a fair question. It's an honest question. Are we bogged down? Do you feel like your spiritual life is suffering right now? Are you ready to hit the hard reset button? I want to just say to you, God is waiting to reset your life. He's waiting, but you have to come to Him. You have to repent and come to Him. He's waiting to reset your life. He's waiting to reset your walk with Him, Christian. He wants to reset that walk. Maybe you've gotten away from Him. Maybe you've drifted out of the garden of God and you're walking on your own. You can reset that. God's waiting to reset your walk with God. Your relationships can be reset. Maybe your relationships and your family are not good. You can reset that. Push that hard reset button. That's the answer. That's the Bible's answer. That's the only answer. Repent. Let's stand. Father, this morning, we're so grateful for that psalmist as he cried out, "Wilt thou not revive thy people that we might rejoice in thee? Will you not revive us again, Lord?" Lord, I believe that throughout the scripture, I believe as we've seen in the message this morning that the answer is you're willing, you're ready, you're waiting for us. You're waiting for us to be ready to push that hard reset button. Lord, there may be someone here that has never had a connection with you. Sin has separated them from you. They've tried to be a good person, but they're failing. They try to live a Christian life, but it's not working. They don't have a prayer life. They're just empty, powerless, no fruit. They're tired of trying. Lord, help them to see that it's only through having a personal connection with Jesus by faith that they can have fruit, joy, peace, salvation. Because He is the vine. Only His branches are connected to Him, and abiding in Him can we have fruit. Lord, there's someone here today that needs to be regenerated. Lord, help them to repent, to turn away from their evil ways and their sin, and to realize that they're on the path that leads to destruction. They would come to Jesus for refuge. That they would come to Jesus for deliverance, for salvation from that evil way. That they would get on the way, which is Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. Father, I know there's many believers here that know you, that have called upon your name, but maybe like a bogged down computer, they need a reset. Lord, I'm thankful in your word that you've given us an RE word to reset, and that word is repent. It's a hard reset. Lord, I pray, Lord, that those that have listened to your voice this morning and you have shown them that they need to repent because you love them, because you want to fellowship, you want to reset the things in their lives, their walk with you. You want to restore the joy of their salvation. Oh God, today I pray, before this service is over, that they would come to you in repentance and be reset. God, please. Lord, I know this is the way to revival in our Christian life, is to reset by repenting. Lord, we're asking that your Spirit would work, have His way. And we ask this not for our sake, but for your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. I'm going to ask Curtis to sing.